Boring ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes to see what's going on in the Scriptures and why so many believers experience stress and anxiety and depression, and how it is not necessary, why it is not necessary, and how we can live stress-free in God's plan. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this evening for the purpose of opening the Scriptures and dealing with our daily lives. Dearly Heavenly Father, we're living in the cosmos, living, Heavenly Father, in Satan's kingdom of darkness, living, Heavenly Father, with a flesh nature that is always in opposition to You, and yet, Heavenly Father, You have provided for us the means of living a life that is stress-free, which sounds virtually impossible. So, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will now open our eyes, cause us to see the things that You would have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now, we all know that stress is part of our daily lives. I think we all know that. But the effect of stress, anxiety, and depression, and the self-destructive behavioral pattern which we naturally develop to deal with stress and anxiety and depression are not always known. They're less obvious. And when we do find out about it, it's generally too late. Too late in the sense that we're pretty heavy into depression when we do find out. So we do understand we're going to experience stress and all of this, but what we do not become so aware of is how we all develop different ways of handling it. And each person will develop a way, and that will become a habit. Parents rearing children can start watching how their children handle these things. And then that's going to set the tone, how they're going to do it all their life, unless a new habit comes along. Now, our goal is to stop stress, anxiety, and depression, to stop the pain that comes from the events of our life, the circumstances of our life, that causes us to develop these habits that are eventually going to destroy us. And when I say destroy, I mean destroy our capacity of happiness, destroy our enjoyment of life, and certainly destroy our relationship with the Lord. We need to deal with the circumstances of life. They're going to be here. We don't want to run from them. That's not the solution. So we deal with it, but what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to form a new habit. We're going to have to form a new way of handling the circumstances that do occur in life. Now, all of you know there are a multitude of solutions in the world, in the same world that has caused them in the first place. That same world, the cosmic system, has a solution for it. And we're inundated with counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and they're all experts. You can hardly go into any bookstore that there isn't this section that'll help you work through stress, anxiety, depression, anger, jealousy, a lot of these kinds, all this stuff put together in that sense. And so counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, all these people become experts. Now, most of these that we've run into are for the unbeliever, and they sound good. And people, I want to tell you something. They are good for the unbeliever. They're great for the unbeliever. They're exactly what the unbeliever needs. They're good. A lot of these professionals have made some insightful observations about human nature, about anger and jealousy, and how these things become stress, and how stress becomes anxiety, and then goes into depression. They've made some unbelievable insights into human nature. Then they put together, due to their background, their training, their education, and when I say training, the types of people they deal with in their life, they put together their own behavioral solutions from how to cope with anger, how to cope with jealousy, how to cope with all of this stuff, disappointments and all the way to the other end of using drugs to handle it. And each one, if you go and read them, they have their own little twist that appeals to a different group of people, different types of people but this is what I like. I like this part. And then, well, I'm not into that solution. Just to give you some broad examples, one way of handling it, and it's in a whole, you can just buy books and volumes of them in bookstores. You handle stress, anxieties, depression, handle all of this in a good, healthy life. Spend 3 or 4 hours in the gym. Do this. Take it out your aggressions. Run marathons, or do this, or do that, or become a bodybuilder. And people, it works. You're so tired, you don't have time to be depressed about anything. So it takes it out of the body. That's what I'm trying to say to you. These things are great for the unbeliever. They're good. Just depends. You find the one that fits you. Other people, they're another person, equally with equal identifications, qualifications, PhDs. Now what we're into is something in the sense of transcendental, where you just meditate. You just sit and do you just sit and think, pure thoughts and clean thoughts, and you have music and just maybe the beating of a drum, or just different things, and you go through all of that type of thing. So you have all kinds of expert ways. You breathe, learn to breathe, and they give you exercises every morning that you do, and every time you sense stress coming on, you do this and you do that, and all these things. And they work for the unbeliever. They're great for the unbeliever. What happens then is that many pastors, preachers, Christian, end quote, Christian counselors, they improvise many of these into their biblical teaching. Their biblical, in quotes again, counseling. Set up programs, or that word again, programs in the church. Cell meetings, encouragement meetings, all this kind of thing. To work with each other, getting Christians in control of their own life, getting Christians to clean out those bad, evil spirits that are in them. And they improvise, some of them very ingeniously, from a lot of these people into their own teaching, and they put all of this stuff together. And these human solutions are brilliant, and they're from brilliant observations of the human nature, and they're absolutely great people, and I mean that. They are great for the unbeliever. But here's the problem. Not for the believer. They're not for you and me. They're not for us. If you are a Christian, you are different. You're different. That's the bottom line that we're going to see in this thing. And you need to know some basic things about yourself if you're going to deal with circumstances of life that lead to the condition of sad, of stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, that is, and this is very important, that is, if you want to handle these things under the provisions that God has given. Now, a Christian can take these human things and brilliant and do them, and they'll work for them because they have that flesh nature. What I'm talking about is, if you want to do this, though, under God's provision, what God has set up, then people, those things are not for us. Because we're different. We're different. We're not in the world where we have a whole different makeup than these people do. So let me say this. We need to know basic things about ourselves if we're going to handle this in God's way. So this series that we're studying, It's for the believer only. This series is not for an unbeliever. This series will be of no benefit to an unbeliever except maybe to encourage him or motivate to believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But as far as handling stress, anxiety, and depression, my study is not for the unbeliever. I have nothing to offer the unbeliever in this study because I'm not going to give them these human solutions. We're going to go to what the Bible has to say for us. This is for the believer only. How to deal with stress, anxiety, and depression. How to prevent these things in our lives. And it begins, people, with understanding who we are. That's where this whole thing is going to begin. And that may sound strange. We've got to start with understanding who we are, who you are. But this is where Christians have to start. For a Christian is a complicated being. We have two natures inside of us. To live a life free of sad, of stress, anxiety, and depression, but not free of the circumstances of life that give rise to stress in our life, we're going to have to start understanding and believing what God says about us. We're going to have to start understanding what God says about us if we're going to handle stress according to God's plan. God's solution is not to go form a monastery. A lot of people run from life in monasteries throughout the history of the church. You got a nice little garden, and you walk around in your garden all day, and you go in and you meditate, la 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 la, all day long, and you just do this, and you wear just very drab brown clothes and robes and stuff, and so that isn't an issue. Nothing's an issue. Nothing's important in the earth. So that's how you avoid all of that. Wrong! We are not going to escape from life here. We're going to dive right into life. Work, social, marriage, family. Get right in there. I always like to use it as a joke. We have a great believer in the Bible, great meaning in this being known, Apostle Paul. Boy, he did a great job. He just eliminated everything. I'm not going to get married, so I don't have any of those problems. Not going to have children, so I eliminate all those problems. But I'm going to be problem-free, stress-free. Won't get married, no children, not a business, so I'm not going to have that problem. Not going to own a business and have to deal with all of that, deal with the IRS and everything. No, he didn't have the IRS. And did have Rome. And, as far as we know, didn't own a home. I mean, he just didn't have to worry about plumbers and carpenters and nothing. The guy just, I'm just going to eliminate everything so I have no problem. So God said, oh, yeah? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to assign a demon. And he's just going to follow you around. And every now and then, going to chop you, body chop you. And he'll fall to your knees. So people, if you're going to get body chopped, don't run from some of the fun things of life, the enjoyable things of living on earth. So our solution is not avoidance. Our solution is not the solution of the world either. So we're going to have to find out what God has given us. So we have to begin to have a life free of stress. We're going to have to begin and understand and believe what God has said about us. Now, some Christians know some of these truths we're going to study, but unfortunately, they're just doctrines. They're just abstract concepts that they can talk about in as far as doctrines. But you know what? Many believers don't even know much of what we're going to do in the next couple of hours because preachers aren't preaching it. They're not studying it. They don't even know about it themselves. So therefore, what they're going to do is they're going to find a good psychologist, to me one that's Christian, and go in there and improvise these things that work for the unbelieving world and improvise and kind of mold them into their own little deal and kind of take a little here, a little there, put it all together and for their church. And people, again, I'm telling you, they're really good for the unbeliever. And if all you want to do is to develop that, then fine, that'll work. But if we want to do this under God's plan, it's a whole other issue. So we'll see that to live a life free of stress in God's plan, there are things that God has said about you. There are things that God declares about you, and that we're going to have to know, we're going to have to believe, and we're going to have to live. And each one of those, to me, give a different concept. We're going to have to know it from Scripture, so we're going to do that. Then you have to believe it. I believe that. I believe what God says about me is true. I believe that. And then live it. Start living what God says about you. Now, what to me is amazing is that so few Christians know all the wonderful things that God has given to us and all the wonderful things that God has done for us, how wonderful these things are, and what they can mean to in setting our life free of stress. But these things are rarely experienced. There's so many Christians and body of Christ in the world today, in America today, who experience a great deal of stress and anxiety and depression and fear and bitterness and a lot of stuff from childhood, and it's all in there, and it takes away people from life, from the enjoyment of life. Many people are just making it through. They're not really living in the life that God has given us. So why not grab hold of the truths that God has to say about us and believe them, know them, believe them, and live them every day? Because people, I'm going to show you some that will boggle your mind about just living day in and day out. Why not? One reason is because they're not taught. Just not taught. I'll say a little bit more about that from Scripture. Preachers just aren't going to study it and teach it. Okay, another reason, though, because of a friend that we saw last night, the deceptive schemes of Satan. The deceptive schemes of Satan to deceive you as to who you are in Christ. He is going to do his best to deceive you as to who you are in Christ. We know that Satan tries to blind the unbeliever of the gospel, but people, he tries to do the same thing with the believer. To blind you of who you are, to deceive you as to who you are in Christ. Some Christians, maybe some of you, some are on tapes, start learning some of these things that God says about you. And you first of all, you hear it, you go, well, that isn't experientially true of me, God. You know, you're saying all these things, and we'll study these things. You say this about me and this about me, but, boy, I look at my life, and I don't feel it, I don't see it, I don't experience it. But I want to tell you something, God. You said it, I believe it, and I want to start living it. I want these things to start being a reality. If I can actually live through a day without stress, married to the man I'm married to, I'll give it a shot. If I can actually live through a day with the woman I'm married to without coming under anxiety and depression, I'll give it a shot. You're God. I trust you. I believe you. I believe you saved me. I believe what you're saying about me, and I want to see it. If this thing works, I want to see this happen in my life. People, you can count on it, just as we saw last night. The woman's pregnant. She's going to give birth. That's Israel giving birth to Jesus Christ. And what was the very next verse? The adversary, Satan, coming in to stop it. Prevent that birth, and then to kill the child once the child is born. So once a person, some of you, people on tapes, start seeing who you are in Christ, seeing what God says about you, you start believing it. Even though you don't see it, I believe that. And I want it to become a reality in me experientially. That's what I want to have here, people. Who you really are to be something that you experience in your life. You live it. But just count on this. If you make this decision, you can count on Satan coming in and doing whatever he can do to counter it. He is going to do whatever he can do to stop it, to deceive you, take you away from who you are in Christ. Oh, you just think you're all of those wonderful things that God says you are. Look, you're no good. Look how you just sinned. Look at that thought you just had. Let me tell you, we know who you really are. And take you right back down. Right back down. Because he knows what we're going to be studying about ourselves and what we are in Christ and what we are when we're not in Christ. He knows these things. So you can start learning these things and start believing it. And You can count on that counterattack, but I want to tell you what you can count on too. Once you hear these things and learn them, you see it in Scripture, and then it's up to you. The next two steps are up to you. I believe it. I really believe what God says about me is true. And I'm going to start walking it. And we all know what that means, walking by faith. Now the Holy Spirit, now watch, now the Holy Spirit can start making these things a reality, experientially. You will actually start living who you are in Christ. It'll be a reality. Won't be a reality right at first. And I got verses we're going to be looking at in all of this. Galatians chapter 5, the hope of a righteous life. And a lot of things we've already looked at, but not in this way. So I said, I'm having a tremendous time studying Scripture with all of this inference and letting the Spirit open a lot of passages in this way. But the Holy Spirit can now start making you who you are in Christ experientially, day in and day out. But again, be warned, because at this point, Satan is going to start his own counterattack in your life personally. Keep you from believing what God says. Keep you from going by what God says that you are. And he's going to use the world. Oh, yeah, you just think you're that. No, you're not. He's going to use believers. He's going to use unbelievers. He's going to use the cosmic system. He's going to appeal to your flesh nature. He's going to get you so down on yourself. It'll never happen to me. Maybe somewhere there's a truth there, but not with me. I'm really a bad person, and I know it, and I'm never going to make it. And so this is the way a lot of people are, because Satan's going to do this. He'll use your flesh. He'll use the world. He'll use your failures, your sins, and beat you down. I'm just no good. I'm really no good. I'm not good. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy to serve. And those who are not worthy should be disciplined and punished, and that's me, and this is why this is happening to me, and this is why that's happening to me, because I did this, and because I've done that. Starts distorting your whole view, not only of yourself, but of God. And so depression and stress and developing these destructive habits on how to deal with all of that starts taking over. But he's going to try to keep you away from being who you are in Christ. So we have a battle going on, being who you are in Christ, living who you are in Christ, and Satan trying to keep you from being who you are in Christ. So we as Christians need to know there is a nature. This is one of the first things we want to know now. There is a nature in us that was created in us from the beginning of man and the beginning when you were born. We need to know about this nature, that we're all fallen creatures. And there is a nature inside of us that is desperately wicked. You have to know that. No, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm not as bad as this person or that. People, you'll never get there. One of the first things we're going to do, if you want a stress-free life, you're going to have to start with this concept right here. I am a bad person. I'm a wicked person. And that's my nature from my birth. My flesh nature. It's no good. It's ugly. It's deceitful. A lot of things we're going to note about it. And we have to know, and I want you to understand, let's start with that point. Now, the second thing related to that, the first thing related to that, but that's the first thing we want to know, is that we do have this flesh nature. God does not reform that old nature. God is not in the business of making you a better person. You've got to start understanding that. This is not a process and a journey that most of these books that you get that I was talking about a while ago, Christian counselors or non-Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and all these things we'll find in a bookstore, make you a better person. Teach you how to have self-control over anger and jealousy and all of this and needing to control and all of the psychological names that we have for all of the disorders that people have and all the dysfunctions of people and how to work on this. If this is your problem, we're going to do this. If that's your problem, we're going to do that. And we're going to work and we're going to make you a better person. People, I can't make you a better person in this series. and neither does God. So let's just start with that. We are not going to make you a better person. God isn't going to do that. Second major thing you need to know. First major thing we need to know is that we have a flesh nature from our birth, from the beginning, that is weak, that is depraved, and we need to know along with that, God is not going to make that a better person. God isn't going to make you a better person. So let's get that clear. If God isn't going to make me a better person, then let's forget it. No, there's something else. What God is going to do, and this is the second major thing you want to know about yourself as we start our journey on a stress-free life here, God creates an entirely new nature in us. He makes us a new spiritual creation with a new spiritual life. Now, these are the first two things you want to know about ourselves, what God says. So we have an old person from our birth. Well, this is a marker. That's not a... Here we go. We have from our physical birth. Here's our physical birth. And we have this flesh nature, a lot of names for it, this flesh nature, this old nature, and people, it is wicked, it is depraved. And we have this person all the way with us, and then at some point, we're spiritually born from above. Now, when this happens, here's this person, we come over here, and we now have a new spiritual creature in us. Now, at this point, we don't drop this old person. This old person stays right with you. That's why when you accept Christ as Savior, people expect this whole revolutionary new person to come out. Guy was a hellraiser yesterday and today, you know, throw all the booze in the river. And then sing, "Shall We Gather at the River." Okay, you can't do that. This is going to take, you're going to carry on your back. Got this load on your back. This is that old flesh nature. It's there. So now, from this point on, we're going to have these two natures. So, point one, we all have this depraved nature. By the way, this is where stress, anxiety, and depression are going to come from. Ways of handling the things of the earth, the world, all of this type of stuff. This is what Satan's going to work on. All these things we're going to be studying. And along with point one, very important, we have an A there, and that A is this. God isn't going to make that a better person. You can forget it. We're not going to go through 10 steps on how to make you a better person. We're not going to go through 10 steps to teach you how to smile, how to breathe, how to practice guru techniques, how to do all kinds of different things, how to go into the gym, how to do this and all the thought processes of encountering anger and work on your self-control and all of this type of... We're not going to do that. God is not going to make this a better person. What He does, He just makes you a new spiritual creation. God just says, if you please, and Him putting humorously, let's just start all over. I'll just create a whole new being the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. So, God creates a new spiritual creation in us. Makes us this. Physical birth, this old nature. Spiritual birth. Now what happens? We have two natures. So people, that's why I started off a few moments ago. These books for the unbeliever are great. I'm gonna grant that. They're great for the unbeliever. But they're not great for this person here who's so complex that we have two natures in us. We've got to try something else. Now, I want to add a footnote. Unless you don't care about doing it God's way, you just want to get through it, then that's fine. Go buy the books and get into it. Because this message is not for the unbeliever or for the believer who just wants to control it in the flesh. This is for the believer who wants to control it with what God has given to us and how we can have a stress-free life. Okay. Now, So I'm being repetitious on purpose here. We have this nature, the old flesh nature from our physical birth. We've had it all along, and we've developed a lot of habits. We've developed a lot of habits with this old nature. We've all learned how we want to handle circumstances of life, how we're going to handle disappointments, how when things aren't going our way, control, run, fight or flight is what they say. Got a fight or flight. Different ways of fighting, different ways of running. And we each develop as little children. You can watch. You can watch children. And it's a horrible thing when children have to go through major things like a divorce. It just is traumatic. It's very difficult for a lot of children who've gone through divorce, and I'm sorry, but I've got to be honest here of what we have going on with this whole flesh nature to ever really learn how to love and be loved, and both of those are important, how to love and be loved. Many people will not allow themselves to be loved because they don't trust love. They saw what it did. It hurt. So therefore, they start building a wall. One child builds this wall. I don't care about anything. Another child seeks love from everywhere, and this is the girl who makes love with everybody. She's not a slut. She's trying to handle. She's trying to handle in the flesh what's going on in her life. And so she's looking for love. The other one wouldn't let anybody touch her or him, at all. So what are we doing? We all develop these things. Most people develop it at least where we can function, I'll put it in quotes, normally in public. But behind closed doors, we know how many women are beaten and how many things are going on in lives that just when they do come out for whatever reasons in the news, I don't like to hear it, but it does make the point that there's so many we don't know and of different things that happen. But as far as being able to go in and order a cup of coffee and do a business, we all learn how to handle these things. But when it comes in our own private lives, the truth comes out. But we all develop our own little habits. And people, we've refined them. We've worked on them. We're comfortable with them. You may not be comfortable with that, but I'm comfortable with it. And so that's the way I'm going to handle this. And so we develop. What we want to do now is realize point two. God didn't do anything about all this. God said, okay, I'm just going to start all over. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, a new spiritual creation. So what we want to do now, people, is to develop some new habits on handling life. And that's pretty tough. It's pretty tough as you get older in life, how to do that. What we learn about this old flesh nature, let me give you a couple of things. One, we do not have to give in to that old nature. God says that. And we can believe what God says or not, but you don't have to. You don't have to give in to that old nature and its desires and habits and the way that it handles things. All kinds of people that are in the world, and there are those that are perfectionists. They become perfectionists in life due to Satan's lie. There are people who are just happy-go-lucky on the surface, and they just look like they don't care about anything. It would never be hurt, and they can be hurt deeply. It's all a facade. All kinds of things that we do, people, that we're dealing with this flesh nature. And what we want to do is realize we don't have, this doesn't have to rule. We don't have to give in to it. Secondly, we want to learn from the Scriptures how to put off the old person and put on this new one. How to make that, if you please, and I'm building this for later, how to switch from the old nature that we were at birth to the new nature. I'm going to use an example of what we're all used to in our society, from television to music to lights. A clicker. You click and you change channels. You click, turn on the lights or turn off the lights. They're all that. The only problem is we've realized one thing in life, people don't have a mute button. You can't mute people. But we have a clicker. We can click a lot of things in life. So what we want to learn, if we'll see what God has done here, we want to learn how to put off that old man and put on the new man and claim as true about me what God says about me. And again, Satan will do all kinds of deceptive devices in your fallen self, in your weak nature, to keep you from experiencing who you are in Christ. He does not want any Christian to get hold of who they are in Christ. He does not want that. That is his objective. It's what all of his schemes are about as far as the Christian is concerned. Why is that true, people? Because the moment you get hold of who you are in Christ, and let's say you start living that, then what you're doing, you're bringing the light, you're bringing spiritual love into his dark kingdom. And he can't have that. And people, that's how you stick out. You're going to stick out like a light in a dark room. There's a light over there. Put that light out. Just see it. You can just see it. You may not even know what it is. I was in Germany. We had it when I was a little child, but I'm too young to remember that. But when I was in Germany, in our maneuvers, field maneuvers, we'd have nights of blackout. You couldn't have any lights. So if you were in a vehicle at night, you had to have two soldiers walking, one on each of your bumpers and getting you through. You couldn't even have those little light nothing on. Because if you see it, plain, there's a light. And there's not that many, so Satan doesn't have that many to combat. So he's going to come after you. He's going to stop you. He doesn't want you to bring that light into his dark kingdom. So it's his business to keep you from believing who you are in Christ, keep you from constantly believing it and living who you are in Christ. Now, before we turn to our study of Colossians 1, just reveal, there's a lot of these passages I've learned. What I wanted to do was hit them, move on, never go back. But I can't do that. There's so much that will be coming up as we go along that we do. But look with me at Romans 7 for a moment. Look at Romans 7 so that you can see this and you'll know you're in pretty good company. Romans 7. Now, all through Romans 7, I wish we had time to read it all, but we don't. But this is that great book, like in verse 15, "For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So no longer am I the one doing it, but sin that's..." I mean, this guy is really messed up. Boy, send him to a shrink, and that shrink can just, honey, put in a pool. Put in two pools. I've got a nut in here. Man, I got a nut in here. Because this nut's talking about two natures. Paul is a believer in chapter 7. And he's trying hard to reform himself and live this Christian life in the flesh. And he can't do it. So look at his conclusion. And people, when you come to this conclusion, this is really great. When you come to this conclusion in verse 24. "Wretched man that I am." Now we'll look at the Greek of wretched later, but you get the idea. No good. This is Paul as a believer. "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this continual death?" What's he talking about there? Right here, look. This is the body of death. Now he's got this one. And boy, it is a battle. And he kept trying to live good in the flesh and do what he wanted to do for God, and it got bad. He said, "Look, wretched, I am a bad person." I know what most people think bad. What, did he commit adultery? No. Oh, well, then he isn't really wretched. See, that's because you don't understand yet how bad this person is. You've got your little categories. You don't do that. Any sin breaks fellowship with God and starts doing things in your soul. It's going to lead to this stress and depression. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to go out and commit body sins to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. In fact, many other Christians who wouldn't even think of doing that and yet are enslaved to stress and depression. Why is that? We've got to understand our nature. We've got to understand who and what we are and then what God says we are. Okay, now let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Well, wait a minute. What about that wretched man? We'll come back there. I just wanted you to see where we are in our study, that we are a wretched person in that creature, even though we are believers. Even though we are believers. Now, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3 and continue our study. Verse 1, since therefore, now we've already studied this, so I'm just going to move right in. Since therefore you have been raised together with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Okay, you've been raised up with Christ. That's this new man. You've been raised up. This, as we saw already, this man died. This nature died. But it still tags along. It's like divorcing somebody and they're just always there. That's what this... He's dead. We're not married to him anymore. But he's there and we can resurrect him. He's dead. We can resurrect him. And that's our problem. Okay, so but we have been raised with Christ. This is our new life that we're talking about. Now, since we're raised with Christ, and since Christ is in heaven, seek the things above. People, this means in your daily life, this means as far as your home, your priorities, what is important, you, the way you live, and you're with your husband, your wife, enjoyments of life. All these things, this is your everyday life, people. Don't put this on this. Don't put this out there on this high, where it's really the very, you know, important things of life and the spiritual up here. But boy, I live down here in the gutter. That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. Right down here in the gutter. Right down here where you and I live. Set your mind. Well, here just we have the idea of seeking the things above. The way you treat your husband. Seeking the things above. The way you treat your wife, seeking the things above. The way you treat one another, seeking the things above. Why? Because Christ is there seated. Verse 2, set your mind. Present, active, imperative. From the root mind, to think. To have a mindset. Activity of this word involves the mind plus the will. On the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Now, as we're going to see, stress, anxiety, and depression are related to the things on the earth. They rise up from the things of the earth. They rise up from things related to the earth. I don't have enough money, enough time. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not in control, I'm being controlled, I can't control, whatever it is, I want to control the environments of the earth, I want to control this, I want more, I want this, I want that, I don't want this, I don't want that. It's all related to the earth. It's our beginning point here. Getting rid of stress and living free, a life free of this, is that you and I live in the things above. Not the things that are here. Silly example, but I'll pull it. And I think I did last week, but I'll go back to it occasionally because it's one way I can communicate it. Live in America, I care about my clothes. Care about my shoes. Care about different kinds of clothes. I want to wear wild ties, wild colored suits that I can't even wear here. Boy, I'd wear one of those sparkling yellow suits, man, with a red tie and all of this stuff, and have a lot of fun. We all, every one of us, do. Okay, to use the analogy, I'm living on Earth. I'm in Germany in the army. They give me a drab green. You wear this every day. In fact, you will have two pair of identical boots. You can't have them red and one red and one black or one brown. No, they got to be identical. You got identical drab green every day. That's it. You don't care. That's it. Don't get stressed out that, well, I can't wear this and that isn't going and man, I wanted to have that on and everybody's going to look cool. And you don't worry about it. You're going to eat this for breakfast, you're going to eat this for lunch, and you're going to eat this for supper. Don't get stressed out about, well, I'd like to go to this place, but I don't have the money to go there. You know, if we just have the money, we can enjoy life a little more and get stressed and worked up about things like that. You don't care. You go to the mess hall, well, what are we having today? Why? You're not living there. You're living in the realm. See, here I am in Germany. I'm living in this sense, living in the United States Army. So all those things, stress free. You know why some people, not all by any means, but just by personal confession, why some people become what we call lifers in the Army? They like that. They like somebody telling them what you're going to wear, when you're going to get up, when you're going to go to bed, and how to dress, do this, do that. They really like that. It's a stress-free life. You just do it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think of what I'm going to wear tomorrow. You don't have to think about where you're going to eat. You don't have to think about what time you're going to get up, what time you're going to go to bed. It's done. Stress-free. Now, that's my example. You and I have to learn to live in this spiritual heavenly above, not here on the earth. Because if we live here on the earth, the more that we live related to the earth, the more we increase stress in our lives. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We've talked about it. It's time to look at it. Proverbs 23. Verse 17. Verse 7, excuse me. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Okay, as he thinks. Okay, what is this? The Hebrew word is sha'ar. Those of you that are interested, it looks like this. Those of you that are not interested, it still looks like that. Okay, sha'ar means, that's a transliteration, means to weigh, to consider, to value, to estimate. Okay, let's apply it to our study. How do you estimate yourself? What is your thinking about yourself? People, that's who you are. I'm no good. I'm not really deserving of any great blessing from God. I just really messed up all my life. I'm no good. I'm worthy to be loved and to be used. I'm worthy of discipline. I'm worthy of punishment. I'm not worthy to have nice things from God. I'm really not worthy to serve God. But let me tell you something. That's who you become. Now, that's not who you are. That's not who God says you are. But that's how you're going to live. It's like our lady with the head of anorexia. Looks into the mirror. I'm overweight. She's not overweight, but that's the way she's going to live. It's the way she's going to eat. The way she's going to... I mean, that's going to regulate everything in that little girl's life all day, every day. How she eats, dresses, where she goes, her talking to people, how she thinks about herself. So she is. That's how you're going to live if that's your thought of yourself. Let me give you a quote. This is not mine. One cannot consistently live differently than one consistently thinks of himself. End quote. One cannot, a person meaning, a person cannot consistently live differently than he or she consistently thinks of himself. You can fake it, but not on the long term. It will not be consistent. Many of the people who have married with that regret, many of the people that have gone into contracts and everything, things they realize what a person's really like. So we have to develop a habit of thinking of ourselves how? As God thinks of us, what God says about us. Okay, now passage. Go back to Colossians. We'll be referring to that occasionally, but let's go back to Colossians now. Keep seeking the things above, set your mind thinking. People, all of this is about the mind. See, as I'm going to show you as we go through it, all the way through this, stress is a choice. You choose to be stressed. You choose to have anxiety. You choose to be depressed. Now, there are people who are going to fight me, and I know that. That's fine. You don't want to believe it? That's fine. But if you're honest and you work with it, as you'll see it, yeah, I made a choice. First choice I made was to be in this old flesh nature. That's the first choice that I made. Now you're on your way to fall apart. Now you're on your way of weakness. Now you're on your way of stress, anxiety, and depression. You're on your way to that. Now remember, I've made a disclaimer. I've made two disclaimers so far in this class, this study. One, I'm not talking about the severe cases where drugs are needed. And I recognize that. I understand that. That's not my expertise. I'm not even going to go there. Understanding what the Bible says about it, that is my expertise. And I'll make statements and believe it. Yes. I'm sorry? Is what? Is faith? Is faith a choice? Yes. We choose to trust or not trust. We choose to trust or not trust. I can trust the Holy Spirit, walk in this new man, or I can refuse to trust the Holy Spirit. If we choose to not walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in the flesh. So this is a choice that we're going to make. It involves the mind. It involves your thinking. Yes, sir? Trust, yes. We choose to either trust Him or not trust Him. That's our choice. I'm sorry? I didn't hear you. So, it's two in the field. One will believe, one won't. God has given to every member of the human race what? He has given to every member of the human race a mustard seed of faith. This is the standard measurement of faith for God. For the unbeliever, believer. That's all God is looking for. And by the way, the mustard seed is the smallest dimension. Today we'd probably say an atom, but in the day and time, this time the smallest thing that the common people, common in the common sense way, but just the ordinary person would think of, that if you said a mustard seed, that's really small. We would talk about an atom today. But, so, right there, that much faith is all God needs to save us eternally or to carry us through, transform us, give us a life free of stress. Yes.
Doesn't God give you that faith?
Yes. God gives you that faith. Gives every member of the human race a mustard seed of faith.
But there's a choice to receive it.
No, it's a choice to use it. It's a choice to use it. Let me give you another example. The moment we become this new man, accept Christ as Savior, among many things that we receive is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The way I do this when I used to go to camp for teenagers, I'd say to a teenager, I'd have them come up on stage. Because where I'm coming from is, God says, love one another as I have loved you. If we're honest, I can't do that, God. I don't have that kind of love. So to demonstrate this, what I would do, God never asks of us anything that He doesn't first give us. So I have a kid I worked with him before. Kid comes up on stage, teenager, and we go into this real, I even did it in New Hampshire, kind of get into a little heated discussion about it. You know, give me $50. I don't have $50. I said, give me $50. Don't have $50. Give me $50. I don't have it. Don't you understand? So I reach in my pocket, pull out, give him some money, give him the $50. Say, now, give me $50. Now you got it. Now one time I did that at a teenage camp, and the kid ran off. And all of my laughed. Everybody just thought that was a hoot. I loved it. Because it made my point even better than if it had given it to me. See, you're given a grain of mustard seed of faith. You don't have to give it back. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to use it. You never have to use the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can live your whole Christian life in the flesh. Live your whole Christian life in the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. This is powerful. Now, I've got to do just a little work with you, and I don't have time to fully develop it. You'll have to take my word and go look at a lexicon and all that. But look at Galatians 3, 4. By the way, from last night, verse 1, you non-thinking foolish means non-thinking Galatians, who has charmed you? Remember we saw how Satan charms us out of seeing the truth and being who we are in Christ and everything? Okay, now look at verse 4, please. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now, see that word suffer? That's not the word suffer. That is the word to experience. Did you experience so many things in vain? Now, why, Herman? Because experience and suffer, boy, those aren't even really close in my mind. Yes, they are. Because the Greek word is used more often, if anything else in the New Testament, of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. But if you look up the word in the lexicon, the word means to experience. And what did he experience? He experienced suffering, so the word became suffering. But the word means experience. So let's stay with what the word means and see how this works for us now. Because that word doesn't mean anything in the context. In the context. So let's see if in the context. Did you experience so many things in vain? Now what does in vain mean? What's in vain mean? For nothing. No count. Did you experience so many things in vain? Useless. If indeed it was in vain. Verse 5, forget the first break. Does he then, God, who provides you, that's the things we experience, provide you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even working, and forget the word miracles, it's the word dynamite for power, even working power in you. Okay, here's my point. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Is it in vain? How would it be in vain if I never walked by faith in the Spirit, lived my whole life in the flesh? Do I have the Holy Spirit in me? Absolutely. Do you? Yes, you do. Then why do you suffer stress, anxiety, depression, all these things? Because you're experiencing that in vain. If I put $1 million, and I haven't done this, so don't run. If I put $1 million in every one of your bank accounts, $1 million, and you decide to go through the rest of your life struggling to pay your bills, go into bankruptcy, on and on and on, just really struggling, did you experience me giving you $1 million in vain? Yeah, because you never drew it. It's yours. All you have to do is go get it. But you didn't do it. Every one of us have a grain of mustard seed inside of us. God now can say, believe in me. I can do that now. You've given me faith. Love one another as I've loved you. I can't do that in the flesh. Okay, here's my spirit. Now I can do that if I walk in the Spirit. See? So we have them, we may not use them. You have them. You have the faith to believe in Christ. You have the faith to walk by faith in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you to have all of those fruit of the Spirit. All the fruit of the Spirit is yours. But maybe in vain. Is it in vain in many, many Christians' lives in the world today? Yes, it's in vain. They prefer stress, anxiety, depression, control, worry, legalism, work hard, do for God. And yet it's all in there. It's all right, sitting right there, ready to be used. Does that help? If it doesn't, keep coming at me. Does it help? Okay. Now, so let's go on. We gotta finish, but let's just finish where we are in Colossians. So we have setting your mind. Keep seeking the things above. Setting your mind. Setting your mind. The way one thinks is intimately related to the way one lives. Let me repeat that now. Keep seeking the things above. Set your thinking. The way one thinks is intimately related with the way one lives. The way you think is the way you live. Whether you are in the Holy Spirit by faith or in the flesh by refusing to walk by faith. You cannot consistently live one way and think another. If you consistently set your mind, set your seeking the things above, set your mind on things above, that will be the way you are going to start consistently live. Our word, set your mind, expresses not only your thinking, but the motivation of the will itself. Now give me just two more minutes and then we'll close before we go to verse 3. Look with me at Romans 8:5. Romans 8:5. Romans 8 answers the question of Romans 7:23, where he said, or 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And then chapter 8 is the answer, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. But look at chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, people. But those who are according to the Holy Spirit set their thinking on the things of the Spirit. You are what you think. Not what you eat, what you think. As you think, it's what you're going to become. Look with me at Philippians. Philippians is very good for this study. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Thinking. Okay? Look at verse 5. Have this attitude, thinking, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that thinking is spiritual love. Bearing your own cross, as we saw Sunday morning. God, Jesus Christ is God, becoming man is the context. One more, and then we'll close. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I offend, often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ. This helps us understand taking up your own cross. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. People, this is where stress is going to come from. This is where anxiety is going to come from. This is where the uncomfortableness of the day, because I care so much about this earth. I care so much about having and not having. I care so much about controlling. I care so much about keeping. I care so much about this and about that. And there's stress that comes over us. This is where it finally will come. There are many things that we're going to study that come before that. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, fear. A lot of things that we're going to study, the seven-headed dragon in our soul. Not the seven-headed dragon of the Bible, but the seven-headed dragon in our soul. And then that is going to become stress because we're not getting our way. We're not getting in control. So stress, anxiety, and depression become another way of controlling. Why all of this? Because I just care so much about the earthly things. I'll be bold in my illustration. I am heartbroken and stressed and depressed because of a divorce in my life. My wife, my husband, divorcing me. This is important. God hates divorce. How can you say I shouldn't have it? People, let me tell you that even Christ Himself said marriage is related to this earth. I'm not being cold and insensitive. And when a person goes through a divorce, I'll be as compassionate. I'll sit up and cry with them all night. But I have to be honest. It's related to this earth. It's related to this earth. The best thing that I can get a person who's losing things related to this earth is to set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things that are eternal. Set your mind and your goals and your thought, all these things, on those things that will last forever. And to the extent that we're able to do that, watch the stress just slowly strip away from us. Watch how the more that we can say, this is related to the earth and I'm going to have to live here in this eternal realm. Watch how sadness becomes joy. Someone dies that I love. Someone dies, it's important to me. But I get oriented to the fact that they are above. And like Christ said, if you really love me, you'll rejoice that I go to be with the Father. The more that I can do that and think in that realm, watch the sorrow, the heaviness, the stress of the sorrow just be almost taken off my shoulder the more I do that. But the more I think about me, the more I think about how important they were to me in my life, the more I think it just stays heavy on my shoulder and I don't see how in the world I'm going to make it. But the more I set my thinking and set my whole concepts and all of the mindset to the eternal things and the heaven things, you can just feel the weight being taken off of your shoulder when we live in that realm. Is it possible to live a life without stress, depression? Yes, it is. Our thinking has to start with understanding we have two natures inside of us. One of those natures is related to the earth. One of those natures is related to the eternal, to heaven, to spiritual, to the things above where Christ is. If you live in the one, stress has no place. If you live in the flesh, it has every place as far as your life is concerned. Any questions? Please, if you have questions through this study, I need them. I need to know what you're hearing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are, that you did not say to us, now that you're Christians, let's work on making you a better person. You didn't say to us, now that you have believed in my Son, let's overhaul that horrible person that you are. Let's get rid of all those desires and lust and all those things you have inside of you. And let's really work hard on making you like my Son. You didn't do that. You said, put off that person and put on the new person that I have made you. That you, God, have created in us a new being in Christ so that we're no longer enslaved to that old person. And the more that we see it, believe it, and live it, the more these things become a reality in our lives. We praise you, Father. In your Son's precious name. Amen.